Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars Jedi Search by Kevin J. Anderson. The black hole cluster reached out for the Millennium Falcon with jaws of gravity drawing it close. Even in the mottled blur of hyperspace, Han Solo could see the huge distortion as a bruised whirlpool trying to suck them down to infinity.
Hey, Chewie, that's too close.
He stared at the Falcon's navicomputer, wishing they had chosen a course that would take them a safer distance from the maw.
What do you think this is, an old smuggling mission? We've got nothing to hide this time.
Beside him, Chewbacca looked disappointed and waved his hairy hands in the stifling air of the cockpit.
Yeah, well, we're on an official mission this time. No more skulking about. Try to act dignified, okay?
Han felt a pang at returning to his old haunts, reminded of when he had been just on the other side of the law, running spice, chased by Imperial scout ships, when his life had been free and easy. On one of those frantic missions, he and Chewbacca had shaved the bottom plating off the Falcon, taking a shortcut and skimming closer to the maw cluster of black holes than had ever before been recorded. Sensible pilots avoided the area, using longer paths that kept them clear of the black holes. But the Falcon's speed had carried them to safety on the other side, making the Kessel run in under 12 parsecs. That mission had ended in disaster, anyway. Han had dumped his load of spice just before being boarded by Imperials. This time, though, Han was returning to Kessel under different circumstances. His wife, Leia, had appointed him an official representative of the New Republic, an ambassador of sorts. Han Solo found himself in the unlikely and uncomfortable position of being respectable. There was no other word for it. But Han's new responsibilities weren't just quaint annoyances. He was married to Leia. Who could have imagined that? And he had three children. Han leaned back in his flight chair and locked his fingers behind his head. He allowed a wistful smile to cross his face. He had visited the kids as often as he could in their protective isolation on the secret planet, and the twins were due to come home to Coruscant in a week. Anakin, his third child, still a baby, filled him with wonder, but he would have to remain on the secret planet with Leia's old friend Winter as his nanny. Han caught Chewbacca looking at him out of the corner of his eye.
Embarrassed, he sat up straight and frowned down at the controls. Now, where are we? Shouldn't it be about time to end this jump?
Chewbacca growled in affirmative, then grasped the hyperspace controls. The mottled coloring of hyperspace fanned into star lines and resolved into stars. Kessel looked like a wraith coasting along its orbit, too small to hold onto its own atmosphere. Huge generating factories constantly processed raw rocks to release oxygen and carbon dioxide, making it possible for people to survive outside with simple breath masks instead of total environment suits. A good portion of the newly manufactured atmosphere escaped into space, wisping behind the small planet like the tail of a giant comet. Kessel was a major planet for spice production, and seat of heavy smuggling activities, as well as the site for one of the toughest prisons in the galaxy. The Empire had controlled spice production, except for what smugglers managed to steal from under Imperial noses. But with the fall of the Emperor, the smugglers and the prisoners in the Imperial Correction Facility took over the planet. Kessel had laid low during the depredations of Grand Admiral Thrawn and the recent resurrection of the Emperor, trying hard not to be noticed, answering no one's request for help. With the Civil War ended and the New Republic once again firmly seated on Coruscant, leaving scattered groups of Imperial warships to fight each other, it was time to reopen negotiations.
Better get them on our side, Han thought.
As representative of the new unified smugglers, Luke's old nemesis Mara Jade had tried to contact Kessel and been flatly rebuffed. The Millennium Falcon approached Kessel, firing aft thrusters to help them catch up with the planet's motion, preparing for insertion into orbit. On the helm's scanner screens, Han checked their approach.
Vectoring in.
Han looked down to see blips already in orbit around the planet, emerging from the blanketing clouds of the atmosphere.
Yeah, I see them. Looks like about a half dozen ships. Too far away to determine the types.
Han brushed aside Chewie's uneasiness.
Well, then, we'll just tell them who we are.
Why do you think Leia made such a fuss about getting us proper diplomatic ID signals and everything? Han toggled the audio pickup switch on.
This is Han Solo of the New Republic ship Millennium Falcon. We're on a diplomatic mission.
But the two closest ships roared toward him at unbelievable speed, spreading out on either side. The sight of their squared-off solar panels and central pilot compartments turned Han's blood to ice water. TIE fighters.
Chewie, get over here. I'm taking the laser cannon.
Han hauled himself up the access tube into the gunwale. One of the attacking ships swooped overhead, and the Falcon's sensor panels howled with the sound of twin ion engines, from which the TIE fighter took its name. The enemy vessel fired, but the beam streaked harmlessly through space. Other ships were approaching, and somehow Han didn't think they were coming to help the Falcon. Up ahead, the two TIE fighters swooped up in a tight arc and roared back for a second attack. But by this time, Han had managed to strap himself into the gunner's chair and to power up the laser batteries. The instant he pressed the firing button, Chewbacca threw the Falcon into an evasive roll. Han's laser blasts went wide, spraying toward the distant stars. The TIE fighter's shot also missed, streaking in the opposite direction and coming perilously close to striking the second TIE fighter. The second fighter managed to readjust his aim quickly enough that his two shots scored the Falcon's shields. According to Chewie's preliminary damage report, the aft shields were gone. Forward shields were still holding well. That meant they had to take the TIE fighters head-on. As the first fighter swung around for a third pass, Han swiveled his gun turret as far as it would go. As soon as the targeting cross touched the image of the fighter, Han squeezed his firing buttons at full power, strafing his deadly laser across the path of the incoming ship. The ship erupted into a flame flower of exploding fuel tanks and expanding atmosphere. Han and Chewbacca shouted their triumph in unison.
Let's go get the other one, Chewie.
Chewbacca increased speed, closing the gap between the Falcon and the remaining TIE fighter, which was heading back toward Kessel.
Just get me one good shot, Chewie, one good shot.
Another ship roared up from behind as they chased the TIE fighter. Han fired off a few bursts from his laser, but they all missed. Then he turned his attention to the ship tailing them. It was an X-Wing fighter, and it was slowly gaining on the Falcon. The X-Wing fired. The laser scored a direct hit, incinerating the protruding sensor dish mounted on the top of the ship.
Turn us around! Turn us around!
Han shouted. They had to get their unprotected aft section out of the X-Wing's line of fire. The X-Wing shot again. All the lights went out inside the ship. With the Falcon sensor dish slagged, Han couldn't send out a distress call. He couldn't even surrender. Han's mind raced. They could skim around Kessel in a tight orbit, then slingshot back out of the system. With the black hole cluster so close at hand, no one would risk jumping into hyperspace without intensive prior calculations, and neither he nor Chewie could spare time to do them. Suddenly, Han's mouth dropped open. As they swept around Kessel, Han detected wave after wave of fighter ships launching from the garrison moon. Seeing it would serve no purpose to keep firing against overwhelming odds, Han dropped back down the access shaft of the gun turret to the cockpit. He settled himself into the other pilot's chair, just in time to see the indicator lights for the forward shields wink out. They were now totally unprotected, as another hit rocked them.
There goes the main drive unit, Chewie. We're space meat in the next barrage. Take us down. Get us into the atmosphere. It's the only thing we can do.
As Chewbacca expressed his disbelief, Han grabbed the controls and sent them lurching down toward Kessel.
It's gonna be a bumpy ride. Hold on to your fur.
Amidst a hail of hostile fire, they plunged through the atmosphere. The surface of Kessel rushed up at them like a gigantic hammer. Han fought with the controls.
Now, at least we'll have a soft landing with the new repulsor lifts we installed.
He started priming the controls. Nothing.
What?
Han slammed his fingers on the switch again and again, but the repulsor lifts refused to operate.
I just had those fixed.
Chewbacca had no time to answer before the ship crashed into the rugged surface of Kessel. The towers of Imperial City rose to the sky high above the shadowed surface of the planet Coruscant. The cornerstones of the towers had been in place for more than 1,000 generations, dating back to the formative days of the Old Republic. Over the millennia, higher and higher structures had been built on top of the old, ruined foundations. Luke Skywalker stepped onto a shuttle landing platform that...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?